Welcome to another installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dillaman, lead pastor at ACAC. This week, our readings contained one direct reference to the Holy Spirit. It was found in one of the minor prophets that we have already considered as a part of our recent series, the prophet Zechariah. You'll remember his declaration of the Word of God resulted in his brutal murder between the temple and the altar. Zechariah was the longest of the Old Testament minor prophets, and he had a great deal to say about the future that still lies out ahead of us. And it was in that context, in the 12th chapter of his prophecy, that he mentioned the Holy Spirit. Here's the reference, Zechariah 12, verse 10. The Lord is speaking, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem." Now, clearly, this is a reference to something that lies out ahead of us, something that has not yet transpired in human history. This is referring to that day in the future when the Hebrew people, who since the time of Jesus and the apostles have largely rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah, this is referring to that day when they will come to the realization that the Messiah has already come and that Jesus was that Messiah. Now, you might ask, how is it that the people who had been entrusted with the Scriptures, the people who had the law and the prophets, the people to whom God spoke directly, the people that God led miraculously, how could those people largely, not entirely, but largely fail to see Jesus was the fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning Messiah? And the short answer, it's an incomplete answer, but still it's accurate. The short answer is that if you talk to Jewish people today, they will say that one of the signs that the true Messiah has arrived will be the coming of peace to the world and to Israel. And Jesus did not usher in a time of peace. Therefore, he could not have been the true Messiah. And therefore, those in the Jewish community that are waiting for Messiah are still waiting. Now, those of us who embrace Jesus as Messiah know that the peace he came to bring was initially peace with God through his sacrifice and through our restoring salvation. He didn't come to initially bring world peace. In fact, Jesus said his presence and faith in him would often prove to be divisive even within households. That's why in the last days, when the Antichrist, the false Messiah, Satan's demonic counterfeit Messiah, bursts upon the world scene, promising solutions to problems that plague the world and ushering in a time of peace, the Jewish people will largely support him and embrace him. But then the prophetic scriptures tell us that when they are saying, "Peace, peace," he will suddenly reveal his true colors, reveal that he is Satan's Messiah, and Satan hates the Jewish people, and he will begin to annihilate and persecute the Jews. That will set the stage for the second coming of Jesus, who will appear bodily, just as he ascended bodily. And that, my friends, is the context for this verse in Zechariah. In that day, God will destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. That's a reference to Armageddon. Then he'll pour out his spirit on the Jewish people, the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit will administer God's grace and supplication, so they will look on me, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. Now, you may have noticed the stress in my voice. God said, they will look on me, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. Now, why that change in the pronoun from the person, personal, first person, me, to the third person, him? It's yet another subtle example of the many biblical references to the Trinity, because it was the third person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was pierced. But he was one with the Father. They are inseparable. So that the Father says, they pierced me. And then he says, and they will look at him and mourn. It's a reminder of the Trinity. When Jesus died because he was one with the Father was pierced. But it wasn't the Father who was pierced in body. It was Jesus who in the incarnation took on flesh. They are separate but yet one. It's the mystery of the Trinity. But the Spirit poured out in that day will be the Spirit of grace and supplication. What does that mean? It essentially means that when God's Spirit is poured out in the future on the Jewish people, he will give them grace to correct their previous long-standing error of rejecting Jesus. He will give them the grace to reject and correct their most recent error, embracing the false Messiah of the Antichrist. And he will give them recognition of the genuineness of Jesus, and he'll give them the necessary confidence and humility to call upon God, to mourn before God as they seek forgiveness and restoration. So, that will produce great mourning, but the mourning will set the stage for Israel's redemption, for their long-awaited awakening that will then position them to be the primary messengers of God's truth during the thousand-year period upon the earth known as the millennium. But here's the lesson. The Spirit, when he comes, gives us grace and the ability to call upon the Lord. He gives us grace by enabling us to recognize the error of our way. He gives us grace by enabling us to recognize the genuineness of Jesus as our Messiah. And He gives us grace to recognize that we can call upon the Lord and be forgiven. When we have hardened our heart against God in some fashion, God could just write us off. But many times, He sends His Spirit, graciously inviting us to reconsider, confess, mourn, because godly sorrow is a part of repentance, and call upon the Lord for forgiveness. So the next time you recognize you have been wrong about something, the next time you recognize you have been on the wrong side of the equation where God is concerned, the next time you recognize you have harbored a sin within your spirit that has previously gone undetected, you will be experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing grace and supplication. Grace to see your error, grace to call upon the Lord, grace to be sorrowful over your error, grace to repent, and grace to call upon the Lord for forgiveness, and in so doing, to radically change your future. So, if I were to summarize, when you're looking for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your heart, don't confine your looking to things that are initially pleasant and encouraging, though He will encourage you, though He will remind you of God's great love. Also look for things that initially are painful to see and hard to confess, things that sting. But know that when He shows you something that stings, He'll also give you the ability to bring your supplication, your sorrowful appeal before the Lord, be heard, be restored, and be closer to Jesus than ever. The Spirit sometimes brings gladness, He sometimes brings sadness, but both are the work of grace. God bless you. Have a great, great week as you follow the Holy Spirit.